Church is a good place to be this morning. A church is... No, I don't want to preach out of Acts. I want to preach out of Matthew 16. Turn there. Glad God saw a cross. I tell you what I have found out about church, about preaching. God don't call the equipped. He equips the called. I think I was 27 years old when God called me to preach. Coming up on 30 years. And I've never been able to get the story told. But Jesus loved me. And Jesus loves you. And it don't matter your skin color. Don't matter your background. Don't matter whether you got things or have nothing. He just simply says, come. He would in no wise cast you out. Matter of fact, I'm glad we've got a God that's on the throne. And He's very much involved with His children. And He's very much concerned about His children. And the reason I know that, number one, is that He sent His Son on a cross to die for everybody in this building. He paid a ransom for all. Let me read this verse and you can be seated. Jesus said, Matthew 16:18, I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love You and we thank You for this time together. I pray that You speak, God, to my heart today, that I could be a blessing to Your people. Lord, I don't want to be unkind in the preaching. God, I do want to mind You and realizing, Lord, if You don't meet with us, then it's just an empty building with people. And Lord, we sure do need Your presence upon us today. There's mom and daddies here that are struggling. There's children here that are struggling, don't know the direction in which to go. Lord, I pray now that You'd help us speak to our hearts. And I'll be careful to remember where my help comes from. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask You. Amen. And amen. I want to talk a few minutes today. Well, I'm just real burdened down this morning. I'm a preacher. I just can't fake things. When I'm loaded, I'm loaded. When I'm at the bottom, I'm at the bottom. When I'm on top, I'm at the top. And I just can't put on a show. God's never called me to be a showman. But I tell you what He has called me to do, and that's to mind Him and to pastor Liberty Baptist Church. And within all of that, it becomes more difficult than what people think. But I'm glad we've got a God that He said His grace is sufficient. I want to talk with you just a little bit this morning about where you go to church and where I go to church. If you took a survey in our county, you'd find nearly 100 Baptist churches of where you could be today. And I think a lot of times we get so used to getting used to being used. God has been so good to us. God has been so good to me. And if we raise our children in formality of just going through the motion and coming, and it seems like it's a burden to come and do our time, then what interest will they ever have or have seen in the house of God? Sunday ought to be the greatest day in our life. It ought to be a day that when we wake up that we realize that the Lord's day is the Lord's day. And He seeks such of those to worship Him. And the Bible says in spirit and in truth. So it takes both to worship God. First of all, your spirit's got to be right. If you're a natural man or a natural woman and you've never been born again by the Spirit of God, you cannot worship God in the spirit of carnality and flesh. You must have God's Spirit that's living in you. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creature, and all things are passed away, and behold, all things are become anew. So our spirit must be right to worship God. And then, matter of fact, that's more of a chore than a lot of us let on like it is. I don't know about anybody else, but I've got all I can say about keeping my spirit right. Because I must worship Him in spirit. And in truth. God wants my spirit to be right, for it has so much volume to do with fellowship. As you this morning, if you're not in fellowship with one another and things have come before you, then you don't get along. Same way with God. If there's something between you and God this morning, you cannot worship Him in spirit till your spirit's made right. I sure am glad He said this, that if we would confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then not only do we worship Him in spirit, but we must worship Him in truth. He is a God that takes orders from nobody. He is the God that is supreme, and He's the God that is in control. He's a God that is to be respected, and He sent His Son to die for the sins of this world. He wrote a Bible that's still right in the day and hour that me and you live. And He wants us to read, and He wants us to develop into a Christian and to grow up to be full-grown men and women by the grace of God. Now this morning in this text on where you go to church, first of all, I'm glad there is the building of the church. Now you'll notice this. He said in Matthew 16:18, He said, I will build my church. Now, first of all, I want to say in the building of the church, He's the superintendent. He has the stamp of approval on His church. In this county, you cannot build buildings commercially unless you have a stamp of approval from this state and the county. So it is with God. God don't build any place unless He puts His stamp of approval upon it, because He's the superintendent. He's the builder. He's the maker. He's everything at the church house this morning. Now we see that in this building of the church, there's this superintendent, then there's a great supporter. He simply said this, I will build. I'm glad that God's still in the building business. And then he's the stabilizer. He said, I'll build this church upon a rock. And that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not Simon Peter like the Roman Catholic Church thought. But it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, He is the lily of the valley and the bride and the morning star. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by Him. He's the rock. He's somebody you can count on. Have you ever noticed that people in this life will let you down, but Jesus will never let you down? Jesus taught a parable about a wise man and foolish man. He said, the wise man digged deep and built his house upon a rock. But the foolish man built his house upon the sand. I'm glad this morning that the Lord has built His church upon the rock. And that is the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's unmovable and He's unshakable and He's unbelievable. And there's nobody like the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody like Him. And I want to say not only that building of the church where He's the superintendent and He's the support of it, but I want to say also He's the success of it. Look what it said. He said, and I'll build my church. This is not my church nor your church. We attend this body of believers, but this ain't our church, honey. It's God's church. I'm talking about the church that's built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I sure am glad that building the church is not up to me, nor is it up to you. But yet, it is up to Him. He said, I will build my church. And He says, because it's all about what I'm a-doing and who I'm a-doing it with. You ought to be glad this morning that God has put you in a local church and loved you enough to put you in a place where He's built the house upon the rock. Oh my, I'm glad I can go to church this morning. Now, you'll notice in this passage, He said, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, there's the building of the church, but then secondly, there's the body of the church. That's where me and you come in contact with this text that we are the body of born-again believers that have gathered together in spirit and in truth and unity to worship our Savior on Sunday. And therefore, in this text, there is the body of the church. I want to say that it is a glorious body. In Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 25, there the Bible says this, simply said, that husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, and he that loveth his wife loveth himself. Then he says this in verse 30, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Then he says in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now it is a glorious body. It has a wonderful master, has a wonderful ministry. It has the right message, and it has some saved members. And it ought to be a glorious church. It ought to be a great place that we can come and honor our God every time that these doors are open, because it is His glorious church, and we are the body of His church. Now, I want to say, this church is a place where you can believe. I'm glad that I'm together with some believers this morning. And this is a place not only where you can believe, but this is a place where you can belong. You know, you've heard me say time after time, there are no big ones and there are no little ones. I need a church and I need a people that where I can fellowship and I can belong at and belong to. People come in and they just hit and miss church and there's no discipline in their life and they just don't belong no place. But let me tell you, God saved you that you would go to a local New Testament Bible believing church and belong in that body of members. You belong with other people of like faith. I'm glad I can go to a church that I belong to this morning. Do you have a church that you belong to? When you come in this church, you ought to be welcomed. Doesn't matter your skin color. Doesn't matter your background. The only reason half of you's not in prison because you didn't get caught. And who are we to look down on somebody? And who are we to judge people that we've never met? Who are we to judge? Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. Maybe the reason some of you are being judged so hard is because you're so judgmental. I've noticed most of the time first opinions are not right. I've seen people come in and said, man, they'll love this. They'll love Jesus. And I was wrong on first opinion. And I'm going to tell you this morning that in this body of the church, it is a glorious body. Christ has died for us and He has so much blessed us. Therefore, we are considered a glorious body. It's a church where you can believe, a church where you can belong. And then thirdly, it ought to be a church where you behave. We ought to not act like the heathens of this world. When God saves you, you ought to turn from sin and your wicked ways. And if you don't do that, I got enough Bible to tell you you've never been saved. Honey, when you make a profession about knowing Jesus and nothing's never happened in your life, you better be getting in this Bible to find out, did you really get saved by the grace of God? And if you can live in sin and practice sin and do sin and the Holy Ghost don't bother you, then evidently the Holy Ghost don't live in you. And heaven will not be your home. I can tell you why the church don't have power, because the church has got so worldly. God never intended the church to behave like worldlings. He said, come out from among them and be you separate. Now God loves you and God wants you to act like that He loves you. And God wants you to act like that you love Him. Amen. Boy, I'm going to tell you, we ought to, and some of us are closer than others, but I can tell you one thing, if you profess to know God, then you ought to be growing in the grace of God and getting rid of some of that old nature that when He saved you, that was getting you in a lot of trouble. Honey, I still got problems with what's in this jacket this morning, and I still have issues with my mind and my flesh. But I'm going to tell you, this Bible is either black and white on issues. Amen. And I'm going to tell you this morning, there's come a time that if God's people would come away and be separate and get holy by God and filled with the Spirit, we could have old time camp meeting and revival back in the house of God. Honey, if you lay with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. And you get in the wrong crowd, you're going to do things that this Bible tells you not to do. Then you're going to pay heavy consequences for not following this Bible this morning. Our behavior, we ought to act like Christians. The Bible simply said this, we are an open book read of all men. When I go in the hardware store, you know what they address me at? Hello, preacher. They expect me to pay my bills. They don't expect me to pick something up, put in my pocket, and don't pay for it. Amen. They looking at me. You know why? Because they know where I pastor at. I can go just about in any place in this town. I don't hardly know anybody. But people know who drives that black Yukon out yonder. And so it is with you. It's no different. When you go in a place, they know where you go to church. They know if you profess to be a Christian. And this open book that they're reading, when they look at our lives, I wonder what they're reading. Are they reading that Jesus loves them? Are they reading that Jesus saved us? Are they reading that we're grateful and we enjoy our Heavenly Father and we're glad that He done something for us? The other day, my little grandboy, we walked in into the hardware store. And I don't know if this is so or not. I'm just telling you what happened. He walked in and he looked up on the top shelf as soon as we walked in above the pool supply. I'm down there buying chemicals, pouring them in the ground like a crazy man. Somebody help me preach this. I wish somebody had that swimming pool I got at your house. I told Miss Renee, we ought to fill it up with dirt and plant maters in it. She said, no, we got grandbabies. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, he walked in the hardware store and he looked up on the top shelf. There stood something. He said, hey, Pop. He said, I've been wanting that, but my daddy wouldn't get it. I walked to the back and got the chemicals and come out and he turned around and he looked back up there and I pulled out my money to pay down at Master's Hardware and he's still looking at that stuff on the top shelf. He turned around and looked at me and I said, hand that boy that bow right there. And this is where we'll get to. Thankful. That evening, you know, they had them little stoppers on them. You lick them, they stick on the refrigerator or upside the head anywhere else he shoots you with. His mama brought him over to the cabin. I was over there planting some seed in the ground. He set up on the tractor fender. Nobody said nothing, just me and him out there in that field. He looked at me, you know what he said? He said, Pop, thank you for buying me that bow this morning. You know what that wanted me to do? It wanted me to go get him something else. God has been so good to us. And the thing about us is His children, He's blessed us so much, we get ungrateful and we get unthankful and we forget about when we come to His house that we ought to say, thank you, Lord, for saving me and helping me and doing the great things you've done. He didn't have to say thank you because He already had it. But honey, He took time to say thank you for it. Well, glory, that's just like a bunch of us this morning. God's been so good to us and gave us everything. We ought to raise our hand and say thank you for how good you've been to me this morning. Hallelujah. I wonder what He's done for you. I believe as we walk in and people see us as an open book. Oh, you're a Christian. And I know that people make fun and ridicule and it's a cop out. I've heard this a lot. Well, I'm not going to go to that church because it's full of hypocrites. I'm not taking my kids where hypocrites are. Well, I'd rather take my family to a church where some hypocrites was and let them hear the gospel and get saved than to die and go to hell with all the hypocrites. You need to quit justifying your actions.
We love to justify our wrong in our flesh. Well, God, I deserve this. Really, what do we deserve? I'm glad we didn't get what we really deserve. You see, grace has given you what you don't deserve, and mercy's withholding what you do deserve. You better be glad that God is full of grace and mercy and compassion and sent His Son on a cross to die for our sin this morning. Sometimes, out of all the toys we got, all the blessings, we forget to say, I just want to thank you for what you've done. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be real honest with you. It was pretty expensive. But it didn't really matter to me. You know why? Because He is mine. And I love Him. Some of y'all are going to love this confession. Now my children, grandbabies are playing ball. I've spent more time at the ball field in the last 6 weeks of my life than I have my whole life. They got a concession stand. And I figured some of y'all would be in there for sale because they call this candy Airheads. And they real cheap. They just a quarter a stick. Grape, red, green. All flavors, but they're Airheads. Now, boss, I notice this about little kids. Never seen me, never knowed me. Gave them, first of all, Sophie come. She grabbed me by the hand. You know where she was taking me? She wasn't taking me to the ball field. She was taking me to the confession stand. I mean, she never said a word. She just grabbed me and off we go. I said, baby, what you want? And she said something. I didn't understand what she wanted. So I picked her up and set her on that counter. And she knew what she wanted. And she reached and she got a tube of Starburst. Set her down. She's just like a granddaddy. She loves that pink strawberry one. You can give them all away, but I want all the pink. Amen. I don't know why anybody would put green in Jolly Ranchers or licorice in nothing. Just make everything watermelon or cherry. Amen. Why waste wrappers on raspberry? I asked her for that pink one. She grabbed it. She got to unwrapping it. About that time, here come another little one I'd never seen give one. And it got to catching. Here come all these little old kids. And I run out of Starburst. And I noticed this. I reached in my shirt pocket, went back to the concession stand, and that's where I got them Airheads as out of Starburst. There's a quarter apiece. I got to thinking, I'm going to have to go to BB&T before I go to a ball game. But this is what was happening. Little kids just lining up. One little boy, I know he looked up at me and he said, can I have a piece? Well, I'd have walked back to the truck, got my change out of cup holder, and bought him a piece. I'd give him one. Somebody said this statement at the ball field right down here at Bowden, said it Friday night. Where'd you get that candy? He said, that man right yonder. And somebody from the bleachers, you know what they said? He's the preacher down there in town. I said all that to say this. People's watching my life. And they watching your life. And church is just not something that we do because we've got nothing else to do. It ought to be a lifestyle, serving God and loving Jesus and staying close to Him and being good and being kind to people. Whatever happened to you about your kindness? Whatever happened to being thankful unto God?
I say I'm a Christian. I need to be acting like a Christian. Brother Dean preached the other night and he said this. I'm going to share it with you because it was one of the most important things I believe I've ever heard Brother Dean say to me. Brother Jake, there is this older man of God and he couldn't travel anymore and God had used him for years. I'm talking about, he was a household name in that town. Everybody knowed that preacher. He had got so old he couldn't pastor and preach anymore. And Brother Dean went to see him. Brother Dean said he walked in and he told Brother Dean, he said, Brother Dean, he said, my wife died. He said, this is where she sat at the table. He said, now you can sit anywhere, but don't sit in her chair. He said, Jesus sits there now. And said, over here, this was her chair. Said, don't sit there. Jesus sits there now. He said, when I got real low in my life, the loneliest time of my life, he said, I'd pick that Bible up and Jesus would go to talking to me and His presence would fill my house and He'd come sit down in this chair and He'd touch my heart. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, oh, Dean, it's 3 o'clock. Dean, it's 3 o'clock. Come here. Dean, I want to show you something that just amazes me. Come here, Dean, it's 3 o'clock. Dean said he run out on the front porch. Said Dean looked and didn't see nothing. He said, Dean, it's about 3 o'clock. He said, all of a sudden, a little yellow school bus pulled up, throwed the stop sign out. Young'uns got off, and here they all come to the old man's porch. They all lined up. Then he said, okay, children, what is our song for the week? They said, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. We are weak, but He is strong. He said, good children, now, what's the verse for the weak? He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And He said, good children, now come children, get your candy. He said, they all come around and got a piece of candy out of his bowl off the porch, went up the driveway into the little houses where they live, said, come back, sat down in his recliner, and he's just a weeping. He said, that just amazes me how God would let me minister to them little children that would get off of that bus. Every day they come to my porch, and they're reading my book, they're seeing my testimony in my life. Can I say something to you young people in closing today? I don't say this comical. Be nice to older people. And older people, have grace to young people. Don't be too judgmental. Remember where you come from.
Miss Emily, would you come sing the song about the wind this morning? The church, we've got one of the greatest opportunities. And I want to say something. And can I say something out of your preacher's heart? And you wouldn't think that I was trying to get prideful about what I'm fixing to say. Brother Michael, you and Brother Chuck, y'all both have been in churches, a lot of different churches. Brother Daniel hadn't. Brother Daniel ain't been saved a long time. He's not seen what y'all seen. Brother Felton, this is about all the church he knows is what he's seen right here. Nearly week after week, God has let me go in new churches. I told Renee when I got home from the meeting, I said, honey, men is wanting me to come preach revivals and I can't get to them. I just can't get them in this year. So please don't think that I'm being prideful with what I'm fixing to say. But I don't know if I preach in one church in any place I go like this place. This place has got the greatest opportunity of any congregation I've ever been around. The kindest people, filled with little old children. These two kids, Brother Tim and Miss Brenda, I've never seen two prettier children than what God's entrusted that family with. To make an impact in their little lives in this church. This may be the church they'll ever get. What do they get when they come here? We're not in showmanship. We're here because the Lord has been good to us. And He's done things that nobody else could ever do for us. And it ought to be a house of preaching and a house of praising and a house of praying and a house of participating. We ought to let the Holy Ghost stir our hearts this morning. Give us a heart for sinners and for children. Miss Sandra, Brother Ellis, Brother Mike told me the other day, me and Brother Mike was off the property. He said, her little grandboy been having some issues. Brother Mike and the men took him there in the prayer room and prayed for him on a Wednesday night. You know, last Wednesday night when I was here, I met him right over there. I said, son, come on, let's go into the prayer room. And that little feller, Brother Joe, followed me right in there. I don't know how old he is. He's not real old. I guess he's 8 years old or nine. We got ready to pray, Brother Tim. You know what that little feller did? He knowed what to do. He turned around, put his little knees on the floor and his face in a chair, and he began to pray. You say, well, I know that's hard on Miss Sandra and Brother Ellis. I'm sure it is, but I want to say something. What a great opportunity that God would trust them with them babies to put them in a house of God like this, that people could love on them and exalt our God and let them know something about the old story this morning. God's been good to us, church. We ain't got to fool around with a bunch of hierarchy and boards in this church. I don't report to nobody, honey. I'll make that clear to you today. I don't report to you. I don't report to no committee. I report to the God in heaven that runs this place this morning. And I sure am glad He's let me be here today. Why? I don't know. I'd have never dreamed God would have saved me, much less called me to preach. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. Jesus died for you. And He'd save you, and He wants to do something in your life. If you'd just come trust Him with it this morning. Quit thinking about you've been hurt in other places. You've been hurt at Walmart, but you go back there. Quit copping out. Quit justifying your flesh and realize the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It will be a battle. It will be a warfare where you go to church and they're magnifying God and preaching out a right kind of Bible. But it'll be worth it. When that heaven rolls back one of these mornings. Miss Emily, you sang. Open this altar this morning. Whatever you need in your life, you come. Maybe you just want to thank Him. It'll be all right in this church. You get up out of your seat and go hug somebody's neck and have church this morning. Just remind you. If you need some help, you come.